Hawks played back-to-back games Wednesday and Thursday, losing in a shootout 5-4 to the dreaded Red Wings, and an embarrassing 2-1 defeat in Minnesota. For the first game, despite the final score, the Detroit game was actually one that Crawford really stole a point in. Yes, it was 5-4. I know. For the most part, Detroit controlled the possession, and Crawford really kept the team in it, especially in the third period, which admittedly was the only one I could actually watch live. Crawford made some really key stops to keep the game close and to take it to a shootout, which the Blackhawks really could have won. Blackhawks got off to a relatively quick 2-goal lead, seemingly against the flow of play. Even when they scored, it just seemed against the grain. Detroit answered with a rebound play and a goal that was off Crawford's glove side to make it 2-2 after the first. It seems that when Crawford's having issues, I don't know if it's mental issues or what, he'll start with his glove up high, and then as soon as someone takes a shot, he'll lower it all the way down to his pad, and then giving tons of room up on his glove side, which is usually where he gets beat. So, in the second period, Sharpie gets a quick power play goal on an excellent power play right off the faceoff, and then the Hawks give it up over a little over a minute later. Kyle Quincy scores from straight on, right about where Crawford had given up a goal earlier, but this time he was screened, and the puck might have been deflected, so it wasn't exactly that terrible. Later, Nyquist gets a great backdoor feed. That was really a good play. It was hard for anybody to have saved it. And the Hawks are down after two. 5 minutes into the third, Kruger picks off a clearing attempt, and wide open, with plenty of time, puts it past Gustafson, tie game. Then Crawford and Gustafson make good saves for the rest of the third, and then overtime, overtime doesn't do anything, because overtime is way too short. Then we go to a shootout. Taves and Sharp score, and then Kane is just stopped by Gustafson. He makes the initial stop, and then the puck starts sliding back, but Gustafson has a the sense of mind to block it and keep it out. So we need to keep going to extra rounds until in the third extra round, the sixth total round, Helm scores and Shaw doesn't, Hawks lose. Okay, that was not a great game, but whatever. Then Thursday against Minnesota, the Blackhawks were just completely flat. All 60 minutes, pretty much. Ronta gets the start because it's back-to-back, the back end, the back-to-backs, and unlike Javi Bulin at the beginning of the season, Ronta has actually proven himself to be a competent backup. Jason Pominville scores off a rebound from Ronta's pads 8 or so minutes in. Then Seabrook, who's actually wearing the A because Duncan Keith is out sick, and usually Seabrook wearing the A means he'll get at least one goal. He doesn't. And Patrick Sharp both get called for cross-checks at the same time, and the Hawks kill off a 2-minute 5-on-3. Excellent. Something that really should just get the momentum going. More on that later. And then, right after that, they give a really, really, really soft goal to, of all people, Matt Cook. I can't. The Blackhawks gave up a goal to Matt Cook. It's like almost worse than giving up a goal to Brandon Bullock. It was a really soft goal off Ronta's glove side. He really should have had it. And pretty much the rest of the game, the Blackhawks were just completely listless and sleepwalking throughout the game. They had no energy. Yes, in the last minute they scored, keeping the not getting shutout streak alive. But the team was just not energetic, and when you have six people on the ice, including, I think it was Sharp, Kane, Taves, Hossa, Seabrook, and Shaw, I believe, basically like the power play unit with an extra player, you should score on that every single time, because those are six great players. But the team was just not energetic at all, until that very last minute, where you can't come back and win a game in the last minute of the game. That just isn't how sports works. Maybe it was because it was a back end of back to backs. But this was actually their first regulation loss on the back end of those. Maybe it was fatigue. Even after Friday, which is when I'm recording this, the Blackhawks have still played the most games in the league with 53. St. Louis, the second best team in the division, has 3 games in hand on Chicago. Plus, Chicago plays the most back-to-backs in the league this season. So, on to some thoughts on the 2 games. First, the good. The Blackhawks killed off 8 penalties in those 2 games, which is quite a lot, but still. And if you go all the way back to the Anaheim game, including the Anaheim game and the Boston game, 13 straight penalties the Blackhawks have killed off. Spanning Anaheim, Boston, Detroit, and Minnesota, they're all about average on the power play. It's not bad. And if you look who's taking penalties, it's, for the most part, guys that you wouldn't necessarily mind going into the penalty box. Brandon Saad, Michael Roosevelt, Brandon Bolling, Patrick Sharp, guys that really don't play on the PK that much. That's good. You don't have Marcus Kruger taking penalties, though you did. Marian Hossa did get a couple penalties, and I think Duncan Keith took one against Detroit. Still, for the most part, it's guys that don't play on the penalty kill that much, and that's something that I really think was hurting the Blackhawks for the penalty kill-wise, is that the people who kept getting penalties were the people that you really want on your penalty kill. Okay, so on to the gripes, and this episode is getting pretty long, so I'll try and be brief. The Blackhawks haven't had much energy lately. Even it seems like in the games where they win, they still don't have a lot of energy. Other than really the Anaheim game, and maybe the Boston game, the Blackhawks have just seemed really slow and not really all there. Their passes haven't been that crisp. Their skating hasn't been that good. It's just, something is not working. I'm not sure why. I mean, playing more games than anyone else can't be good. But they're not the only team that's played 53 games. I mean, it's not from a lack of coaching. Q's been changing up the lines constantly, multiple times per game. He benched Marian Hossa for like 10 minutes. And I know the game against Minnesota, Duncan Keith didn't play, so I can't give him anything about that, but still, not only did he change, I mean, obviously he had to add in another defenseman because your top defenseman's out, but instead of partnering Seabrook with one of the 2 defensemen that's usually benched, I think it was Brookbank and Roosevelt were the 2 that played, he partnered Seabrook with Hjalmarsson and then put Oduya with Roosevelt. So he broke up all of the defensive pairings except for Letty and Brookbank, which technically is a defensive pairing because it's usually Letty and then whichever one doesn't get scratched. Even that wasn't really that good of an idea. And I mean, honestly, I can't figure out which line is which in numerical order. Obviously, usually the Taves line should be considered the first line, but after that, how does it go? Usually it goes by center in order, Taves, Hanzu, Shaw, Kruger. But that would mean that Patrick Kane, one of the best players in the world this year, is a third liner. And I just can't wrap my head around that. I think it would be beneficial for the Blackhawks to reunite Versteeg, Hanzus, and Kane, like they had for most of the beginning of the year and most of the end of last year. That line was really amazing before he split it up. And, okay, that's it for this episode. Blackhawks play against Sunday, against Winnipeg, in the last home game before March. Yes, March. Blame the double whammy of Disney on Ice in the end of January and the beginning of February, and then the Olympics for that. So I will see you again later.